Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
A lot of developments in UGA recruiting over the last few days, and obviously Georgia fans, I think with good reason, are focusing in on five-star quarterback Justin Fields. We'll have Jeff Sintel here on Dog Nation Daily in a few minutes. We'll talk about the upcoming visit that Fields does have to Athens. Obviously, a lot of Georgia fans waiting with sort of bated breath to kind of find out what the relationship turns into between Fields and Georgia. Does this turn into a full-fledged commitment maybe at some point in time after the visit this upcoming weekend? I think, though, there is an important point to bring up here that while there's plenty of reason to understand the obsession with Fields, that's not the only big story going on with Georgia recruiting. And Georgia fans, I think, probably should also be paying attention to another story here that could potentially be, I don't want to say as crucial as the Fields scenario, because Fields, in addition to being now the number one player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports, in addition to being the number one player in the country, you know, he is also the kind of player that brings more people with him potentially to Athens. So obviously, you know, there's an emphasis that's placed on Fields for a good reason. But you should be watching closely what's happening with Adam Anderson, the linebacker as well from Rome, Georgia. Now I'll explain why I think Anderson's so crucial coming up in just a moment. But let me give you the latest news on Anderson that you may be aware of already. Anderson on Twitter drops his top five after at one point in time being a Georgia commitment, decommitted from Georgia, went to LSU because LSU offered scholarships to a couple of his teammates there from Rome. But when Jamarcus Chapman left LSU, committed to Tennessee, the bond between Anderson and LSU started to break a little bit, to the point where Anderson decommitted from LSU, and upon re-releasing this new top five, LSU is nowhere to be found. The five schools that Anderson is considering, is apparently going to visit each of these one more time. That's what he put out there on social media, and he says in no particular order, and I obviously wrote them in the order that Georgia fans would care about the most, with Georgia at the top of the list, then with Bama, Clemson, Florida, and Tennessee. Now, I think this is an interesting list here for a few reasons. First of all, Florida is included here. My guess is that Florida is not going to get any serious consideration from Anderson. Sometimes you just sort of add the extra school in there to get yourself to five. I'm assuming that's what's going on here between Anderson and Florida at the moment. Tennessee, I might be tempted to feel the same way about it had it not been for what Jeff Sintel said on Dog Nation Daily last week, that because of the bond between Chapman and Anderson, because of the fact that his hometown of Rome is actually fairly close to Knoxville, maybe you do pay a little bit of attention to Tennessee here. Maybe you do watch them closely. But other than that, your eyes sort of more likely kind of wander in the direction of Alabama and Clemson as the more serious threats here for Georgia when it comes to Anderson's services. So we'll kind of see how these visits take shape. We'll kind of see what the chatter is behind the scenes about where Anderson might be going. I know when I read the message boards like forum.dognation.com, I see Georgia fans showing a lot of confidence about Anderson eventually landing back in Georgia's 2018 class. We'll see if that happens. But the point that I wanted to make here about Anderson today is that I do think that he would be a crucial addition, or I guess in this case re-addition, to Georgia's 2018 class. Because as important as the offensive side of the ball is in the current modern age of college football on the field, what we'll see in 2017 and Anderson's future college year starting in 2018, what you're seeing is that the only way to combat the high-powered offenses and quarterbacks like Justin Fields, who can do it with their arms and their legs, the only way to combat that now is with the kind of explosive pass rushers, outside linebackers, defensive ends, depending on which defensive lineman you're using, but guys like Adam Anderson, the skill set that he brings to the table. If you're watching us on Dog Nation Daily on Facebook Live, we've been showing you some of this already. The highlight package that he shows of being able to get into the backfield, sack quarterbacks, knock down running backs behind the line of scrimmage, that's really the only way to combat the exciting up-tempo offenses that rule the day in college football. As a matter of fact, this is a point that former Georgia coach Jim Donnan made on an episode of SEC Country Live not too long ago. He was talking about the modern age of college football, and as important as quarterbacks are, Jim Donnan says guys who do what Adam Anderson do, they are almost just important in the modern version of this game. Here's how Donnan said this on SEC Country Live.
But I think in the game, the modern game we're seeing now with the run-pass options, with so much influence on the passing game, you've got to have those edge rushers, those guys that can come off the edge and put some pressure on the quarterback and create some lost yardage plays, because most of these teams have got so much firepower, throwing the bubble screens, creating space down the field with good down-the-field blocking. And these edge rushers are the guys that really, I think, can take over a game and cause the game to turn around with a big sack or a big turnover or just a third down stop.
Daniel Goldsmith watching us right now on Facebook Live, kind of echoing what Jim Donnan just said there about Georgia. Daniel says, we need pass rushers. He says that there in the comment section. That's kind of the point that I'm making here, is that I think the number one stat that is going to tell the tale of Georgia's pursuit of going from a good defense, what it has been now for a few years, to becoming a great defense, I think the number one story that tells all of this is going to be its ability to sack the quarterback. That's what the dominant teams in college football do. Take a look at Alabama here. The last 2 years, more than 50 sacks in each of the last two seasons. That's the kind of impactful defense that really gets you into the college football playoff. That's the kind of impactful defense that puts you in the conversation for the national championship. And the only way to produce that kind of sack total, the only way to have that kind of reputation as a pass rushing defense during the season, is to recruit those kinds of players 12 months out of the year. So Georgia fans paying close attention to Justin Fields, I understand why you're doing that. I understand where that's coming from. But those edge rushers, the guy that stops the next generation of Justin Fields at the college game, that's an important position as well. And one of those guys for Georgia for the class of 2018 could be Adam Anderson. He re-releases his top five. Georgia's in there. And I think this is a recruiting battle, head-to-head against Alabama, Clemson, maybe even Tennessee, that I think it's going to be crucial for Georgia to win. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us. As I said, on Facebook Live each and every morning at 10 a.m., on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and anywhere where you can listen to podcasts. That's anywhere around the world, on iTunes, on SoundCloud. We'll post the show at DogNation.com as well. We just appreciate you being with us for Dog Nation Daily. And, of course, here at Dog Nation Daily, we're getting so excited about our Dog Nation invasion to South Bend, coming up for the big one there in early September, and it's brought to you in part by our friends from U.S. Auto Sales. You know, a lot of car dealerships play games with sticker prices and hit you with hidden costs. But at U.S. Auto Sales, we pride ourselves on giving our customers no-haggle pricing with no hidden fees. You can find out more for yourself by visiting usautosales.info. Also time for our Gator Hater Countdown. Now 108 days away from Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville this October. Of course, SEC Media Day is going on today. Both Georgia and Florida on the scene for that today. We'll see if there's any Gator Hater cocktail party talk going on with that one. But one of the best ways for you to send that message to Florida fans that Georgia's coming for them this October is to check out shopdognation.com and get your own Dog Nation Daily Gator Hater t-shirt with our Dog Nation Daily logo on the sleeve, the Gator Hater license plate in front. Really cool t-shirt. All the sizes in stock for you at shopdognation.com. And we'll give you free shipping as well, so I hope you will check that out. We talked about Adam Anderson a good bit a moment ago. We'll get Jeff's intel coming up on that. We'll also get into a bit of a preview of Justin Fields' upcoming visit to Georgia, maybe a little bit on that visit he's taken to Auburn as well. So a lot of recruiting talk coming up here with Jeff Sintel. Thanks for being with us on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
And it is a busy time for Georgia recruiting. A lot going on. No better source to talk about all that than our buddy Jeff Sintel, who joins us here on Dog Nation Daily today. And Jeff, I guess if you don't mind, let's start with this. Adam Anderson kind of comes out with his new top five, the team he was most recently committed to. LSU's not on the list. Georgia is, along with Alabama, Clemson, Tennessee, which we talked about with you last week, and maybe a surprise consideration for Florida, I guess, maybe a little bit. What did you make of that top five from Anderson, and where do you think all this is going next?
Well, good morning, Brandon. How are you? Hope you're well.
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
I hope everybody else out there is doing well, too. Adam Anderson, I think that the fifth school you latched on to, which is, I guess, the subject of a lot of T-shirt sales around Dog Nation. I think Florida might be that fifth official visit. I think maybe the reasons why he's not going to LSU might be the eventual reasons why he will not go to to Florida. Three rapid-fire things that I think are very interesting about that list is, number one, you have no LSU in there, so they go from a tri-pack commitment to really the only guy that was basically that sealed the deal for Jamarcus Chapman and Adam Anderson to commit to LSU was Jaquan Griffin, and he's still currently committed, and the other two dudes are not. The second thing there is, you know, that Tennessee tie with Chapman. The other main thing I see that's intriguing to me is, you know, Alabama's in there. And Alabama's going to have a little bit of kind of a logjam at outside linebacker when you count Quay Walker. Of course, Quay Walker could also slide inside, but he's a natural outside backer. You want him covering slot receivers because that's one of his strengths. You want him rushing the passer. So right there, Adam Anderson is part of a group there at Alabama that's on the board with J.J. Peterson. I think J.J. Peterson is a guy that is still trending towards Alabama. So Adam Anderson might be the third outside linebacker, the third strong outside linebacker that Alabama might sign. So to me, that when I'm kind of just whittling it down and looking at that decision, I think there's a little bit of there's a good chance with Clemson there. There's a good chance with Georgia there. And then there's also those ties to Tennessee. Also got to remember that the Adam Anderson angle is also complicated by everybody at Georgia, everybody at Clemson that could be a candidate on the defensive end spot. You know, Clemson already has Justin Maskell committed. Clemson already has Xavier Thomas committed. Clemson is also trending heavily for KJ Henry, where they are at least still a strong contender. So at a lot of these schools, there's just not the cozy fit for Adam Anderson to perhaps return to Georgia at defensive end in the long run. And that would be pretty funny how you would have a re-up or a recommitment if Adam Anderson decides after he sees all five of those schools. I thought that was very interesting about that tweet as well, that he needs to take one more look at all five of these schools before he makes his final decision. And as I wrote about on the blog this morning, I thought it was a pretty efficient tweet for Adam Anderson. He said, "These are my final five. I've eliminated LSU, and I need to see all of them before I make my final decision." So that's a lot of good work done, a lot of productivity in about 140 characters there.
I saw somebody posted this on a message board, and I think this is a good point, that we need a better dog emoji. Like, the dog emoji is, like, the most, like, cuddly, cute dog in the world. And it's always sort of weird to see, like, four-star linebacker using this sort of, like, cartoonish, you know, very cuddly dog as a representation for Georgia. Can't we get it? I mean, there's, like, a million emojis now. Can't we get one where a dog's showing a little teeth, you know, a kind of a mean-looking bulldog? The dog emoji's not quite tough enough for these Twitter announcements when Georgia's included. Don't you agree with that, Jeff?
I totally agree with that, Brandon, and my brain started churning when you said that, and I'm sure there's some innovator programmer out there that can heed these words, and all you need to do to make a couple $1 million is get the collegiate licensing company on board and create an app that creates distinctive, lifelike, team-affiliated emojis, sell it to everybody for about $4.99 a download. And you, my friend, would probably be on your way to a Caribbean island very fast.
That is a good idea. That is a good idea.
Because, I mean, can you imagine the market for that? I mean, everybody would want them. They would want the emoji to say good things or bad things. And not to mention all these recruits. They wouldn't have to suffer with, like, a red dot and a black dot and an orange dot and a white dot or oranges for Tennessee and everything else like that. I mean, I'm sure somebody out there snapped that up. I mean, the easiest part might be the programming and actually putting together the software and the app and the downloads to create that. But the harder thing would definitely be the licensing and getting that worked out with the NCAA. But, I mean, heck, Brandon, you break off $5.99 to download
without a doubt
real life emojis of all your favorite SEC schools.
Well, how about this? While we're doing our little brainstorm session here, is you create the custom emoji, you sell those to the fans of the school, then you take that same emoji, you put the circle with the line through it, and you sell it to all the school's rivals. Now we've just doubled our money.
Yeah, you include the special feature, which is the circle with the line through it, like the dog buster or the tech buster, the pachyderm buster, or everything else you want to do for there.
I just doubled our money, Jeff.
Somebody, I cannot believe, we have logos on soap, we have logos on toothbrushes. Why can't we get logos on our emojis for our text messages?
I think that's just got to happen at some point in time here. Now, what Georgia fans are also excited about right now is obviously Justin Fields and the fact that he was recently named the, I guess, the number one player in the country according to the re-rank from 24/7 Sports after the opening and some of the events of this summer. Jeff, that's not going to do a lot to kind of ramp down the anticipation that Georgia fans have right now for Fields' ultimate announcement. This hype only adds to the hysteria that already exists for Georgia fans around Fields, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just more fuel to the fire, Brandon. I mean, Georgia likes him as the nation's number one dual threat. That's what all the fans tell me on our message board. They also like the fact that he is knocking on the door with Trevor Lawrence and everything else. I think what more people are really concerned about with Justin Fields is I wish there was a true ranking to determine how many guys that might come in the boat with a prospect, kind of like the domino theory recruit that might actually come into the boat if Justin Fields signs with a certain school. I think, this is to my knowledge, I would think, my opinion here is that I think a school like Georgia that already has inroads with a Kyaris Jackson, a Luke Ford, a Josh Mann, a Marquez Ezard, I think Justin Fields committing to Georgia would kind of be the final straw in all those decisions that they would just be like, that would be the deal maker where those guys would also commit to Georgia. But I think they could also commit to a school like an Auburn for a couple of those cases as well. I mean, Justin Fields is not signing with South Carolina, so I don't think Josh Mann can be – his status there can be enhanced at all. But I do think that Justin Fields is one of those true recruits, and perhaps, if we're being honest here, maybe that only happens with quarterbacks these days where one guy can bring so many other guys. And, you know, I think Justin or Matt Corral will probably be a part of Georgia's class this year. And I think Justin, the addition of Justin Fields might mean Georgia has a really good shot at the nation's number two recruiting class, or at least the nation's number three recruiting class in 2018, that would kind of bookend what they did in 2017. I still see everything that's happened at Ohio State, and I have a good idea of what will happen for Ohio State, and that might take a while. It's going to take a couple more twists and turns, like an Adam Anderson, like a KJ Henry, guys like that, for Georgia to really challenge Ohio State this year, because it seems like, you know, the Brenton Cox situation is a very good example that Ohio State is basically getting all the guys they want for 2018.
So let me cut to the quick here with the big events coming up on the next few days. The visit coming up to Auburn for Fields, the Georgia visit after that. How high stakes are these next few days? Is there a chance that Fields would commit to one of these two schools, the good guys or the bad guys, depending on your perspective? Is there a chance that a Fields commit could happen on the heels of one of these two visits this weekend?
That's the million-dollar question, Brandon. And I don't know. I think it's curious how these are the only two visits that have been scheduled so far, which is maybe visits that either say, hey, they're just the closest ones that we can squeeze in because he's going to do them in the matter of about 3 or 4 days, or that these are the visits that we really need to see to determine whether we need to go dip to Alabama, we need to go to Florida or Florida State. You know, he could end up at Alabama's cookout. It seems like everybody's got a cookout now. And then Florida and Florida State as well. Those are all schools to consider. But I just think the really interesting stuff there is when Justin Fields, it seems like he's got a timeline of about 10 days before Matt Corral comes in. And I think Georgia fans will definitely be reading the green a lot to see if there's no public commitment from Fields by the time Corral visits. And then Corral leaves Georgia without a public commitment as well. I think a lot of people will be hoping that Fields has given the staff the indication that he's coming. That's why they didn't accept Corral's commitment. But, you know, one thing I just want to throw this monkey wrench into the whole sequence here is you got to remember this Matt Corral guy has the huge arm we wrote about, has a lot of good qualities, really likes Georgia. And I think really Matt Corral, I don't think people should look at him as the plan B or the consolation prize. He's really basically the nation's number three quarterback. And Georgia is choosing between a player that was rated even higher than Jake Fromm was on the national boards last year. to be their third scholarship quarterback in the program. So I think this is one of those things where somebody's given the choice of, would you rather have $1 million a year for 40 years, or would you rather have a lump sum of 35? It's one of those decisions where I think the quarterback spot is now working out very well for the University of Georgia.
I thought what four-star tight end Luke Ford said, you had the quotes at DogNation.com, as interesting as I can remember any recruit saying in this 2018 recruiting cycle. You know, we hear a lot of guys sort of suggest, hey, we'd like to play with each other. Hey, we might be a package deal. Sometimes that stuff has a way of kind of fizzling out once you finally get to signing day. But what Ford said was a little different than that. He said, I am going to go wherever Fields goes. And I thought there was kind of a succinctness to that that's a little bit different than the typical recruiting chatter. This is a guy who was clearly won over by his chance to catch some balls from Fields, and this was a little different than some of the stuff that you typically hear from recruits who just develop relationships with each other. Did you have the same reaction to what Ford had to say?
Yeah, Brandon, it's funny. Let's go a little bit behind the blog page, so to speak, and I was just kind of talking with Luke about it, and he even said some things. He even kind of stated it even more stronger than that. And I was like, hold on, man. That's something people want to read about. Do you mind if I get that on the record? And then he's like, sure. And then what developed were those direct quotes that we published yesterday. But I mean, you know, Luke Ford's dad flew Apache helicopters, man. So this is a kid that's not going to get into all this, I think I may or I might, or it depends on this. He's very forward, very direct. And, you know, he kind of admires Rob Gronkowski at the NFL level, and he's going to be pretty direct, and he says what he means and means what he says. And heck, man, when you talk to so many players and interview all these guys that I do, when you see someone that is just so direct and honest to the point with everything, that usually makes its way onto a web page, because you like writing about original people and original statements and people that very clearly speak their mind.
So this is a really good story. I don't know that it's necessarily going to play out the way I'm about to describe it, but I'm really interested in that. Ja'Marr Chase, the guy who was about to make his choice between apparently LSU and TC on the NFL Network. There's a snafu on the network. They can't air his decision live. He decides to postpone it, and now it's not just LSU and TCU in the mix. Other schools in the mix as well, including Georgia. I think you've reported that he's coming to Georgia the same weekend, or the same time that Justin Fields is going to be there. Ja'Marr Chase is going to be there as well. How real is this right now between Ja'Marr Chase and Georgia, and would any of this be happening had the NFL Network not screwed up the timing of his announcement the other day?
Probably not. We talked about domino theory earlier, and that's another domino that fell. And you know, it's amazing how many ripples that one little splash in the water is going to create with the NFL dropping the ball on that one. I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is kind of the vogue next guy Georgia could get, although that program, the Rummel program in Louisiana, has a lot of interest in Georgia. A lot of their players like Georgia. He's coming with three guys. Coy Moore, who's another big-time 2020 receiver, is going to check out Georgia as well. So he's always from afar really been interested in Georgia. You know, he's noted the A.J. Green connection there and the tradition at receiver. But, you know, if we're talking, you know, outside-the-box receivers that Georgia might have a shot with, it would be I would be interesting to see what sort of pull, and this is more things lining up. I think Justin Shorter is a guy, the five-star that's committed to Penn State, that knows Justin Fields very well. They had a connection with the Mock Speed team out of the opening that won the 7-on-7 title. He's currently pledged to Penn State. I wonder what a plugged-in Justin Fields down the road would do for Georgia's chances with a guy like Justin Shorter. And Shorter is, you know, kind of the alpha playmaker that Georgia's been looking for, like maybe strap Matt Landers' body and strap kind of like some of Kyaris Jackson or Josh Vann's playmaking game on top of all that. That would be very interesting for Georgia as well. And, you know, the other thing to think about there with receivers and Ja'Marr Chase is I just know Georgia's board and the guys that they just keep going after and keep hitting home are Josh Vann, Kyaris Jackson, and Marquez Ezard. And I don't think Georgia's going to take any more than three receivers, so I don't know where Ja'Marr Chase fits in. unless Kyaris Jackson decides to go elsewhere, and in the event Josh Van decides to go elsewhere as well. I do know that Josh Van's decision will likely be made within the next month before his senior year. That's probably the most likely outcome for that one, because Tucker High School coach Brian Lamore has told me that he wants his players committed before their senior years, and he really wanted them committed by the first week of August. That way they'd be locked in, they'd be distraction-free from their senior studies in the classroom, their senior football year on the field, but then also that they would, in the event of something injury or something bad happening, that they would be committed to a university, and the university would be committed to them, and they would likely honor a scholarship. So, you know, there's a lot of things to think about what could happen if the Justin Fields domino falls, but I still think that was not ready to go down quite just yet.
If you don't mind, let me squeeze in one final question here, and I would invite everybody that hasn't already to go back to DogNation.com and read some of the quotes that you've gotten recently from 2019 commit Nolan Smith. And, Jeff, I'll admit some of this is good for Georgia, some of it maybe not so much in terms of what Smith has to say. He's incredibly forthcoming, at least it seems that way, and I appreciate that about him. I am having a little bit of a difficult time interpreting it, though. What's the underlying message here? What's the message in between the lines here, so to speak? Sometimes I feel like I'm pretty good at that with some of this stuff. In the case of Smith, I'm not really sure what the overall takeaway should be. You've spoken to him directly. He's potentially an anchor for Georgia's 2019 class. What do you make of what he said about Georgia and kind of where things stand at this moment?
Yeah, Nolan Smith is a very interesting case. He's one of those guys you know, if you're looking for interpretation, Brandon, it's kind of like the way I would kind of want folks to kind of dial it in. It's like you're coming out of college, and the plan when you went into college all along was to go work for dad's company back home. And yet you have another enticing job offer that maybe from the big city or maybe from another market that you kind of just have to think about, because maybe the money's right, the fit's right, the innovation is right. That's kind of what Nolan Smith thinks there. He still says we a whole lot. And by the way, I do totally agree with your thought there as an anchor recruit. He would definitely, I think he's eventually going to be the number one or number two recruit in 2019 when all is said and done. And man, think about that for a little bit. You know, Trenton Thompson was Georgia's number one, the first time Georgia landed the nation's number one player back in 2015. And then, you know, Eason is another top 10 talent in 2017. Mm-hmm. You know, you collect some more five stars, but what about then Justin Fields and then potentially Nolan Smith? That would be a pretty good run of about four or five recruiting classes there where Georgia is right there for the nation's number one player.
Without a doubt.
And that's a unique string right there. And, you know, I think Nolan, his heart is in Georgia. Here's what I think. If Georgia wins the East this year and averages 10 wins for the next two seasons and they do big things, I think Nolan will eventually stay at Georgia. I think Nolan's eye will wander if Georgia does not fulfill on the promise he sees within the program. You know, it comes back to something we said a lot, and I know people are tired of hearing it, but I know they're ready to hear it. I think a Georgia football team that wins 10 games this year, 11 games next year, or 11 games this year, 10 games next year, whatever the case may be, I think that battleship gets turned around that Kirby Smart talks about a lot. I think it will be turned around if Georgia has 21, 22 wins over the next 2 years. And I think a lot of those guys, the true 19 guys, the class of 2019 Bulldogs, especially those in the state of Georgia, I think a lot of those guys will come home to the program that they want to call home. And I think Nolan Smith might be the leader of the pack, providing there's no hiccups like 8-win seasons, 9-win seasons, and more of those, you know, head-scratching losses to like Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. And it's not just those games, too. I mean, recruits do notice when Georgia kind of dawdles a little bit and takes too long to put away a school like the Louisiana Lafayette and the Nicholls State. They just want to see more from Georgia, and I think that's what the fan base wants, too.
Hey, Jeff, terrific stuff. Thanks so much for your time here on Dog Nation Daily. Appreciate the way that you're grinding out there on the recruiting trail for us. And, of course, we'll look forward to speaking to you soon here on Dog Nation Daily as well.
All right, guys. Have yourself a good week.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Love Jeff Sintel on Dog Nation Daily. I always like his stuff at DogNation.com as well. And, of course, it's time now for our SEC Through. And I want you to invite you a couple things here. Bud Light's SEC Country Live comes up 3 p.m. Eastern time today on the SEC Country Facebook page. A lot of reaction today, too, of SEC Media Days there. And, of course, later on this evening, sometime in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll kind of finalize that and give you more details coming up. A very special edition of Bud Light's SEC Country Live. We're calling it Bud Light's SEC Country Live Extra. We'll be on the Dog Nation page and the SEC Country page looking at Georgia's trip to SEC Media Days today. So please make sure you check us out on Bud Light's SEC Country Live for a lot of Georgia coverage here over the course of the next few hours. And speaking of day two of SEC Media Days, Georgia is there today. We'll see if, you know, we'll see if Georgia has any kind of highlights, any kind of fireworks there as far as kind of what goes on in terms of interesting comments. My guess is for the most part, Georgia will kind of stay away from some of that. I don't think you get necessarily much of that from Kirby. I don't think there'll be a lot of real pointed questions asked to him. Maybe some of the stuff about Trent Thompson, but other than that, I don't know that there's much controversy to kind of get into with Kirby Smart. Maybe a little more of that with Florida. You know, McElwain's just been on the job a little longer. He's got that extra year of service time there. So I think you do have a chance to kind of ask McElwain some more interesting questions. And if you're the kind of person that sort of takes pleasure in McElwain squirming a little bit, you may get some potential for tension. I know that McElwain gets frustrated, even with his own fans, because sometimes they want to see more offense, and he wants to brag about the fact they've won the East. And there'll be a line of questioning along that line here on this Tuesday of, hey, you've won the East, but you really haven't scored points. And McElwain would rather talk about the accomplishment. Other people kind of want to talk about, why aren't you scoring points? Why don't you have a quarterback? How good is Malik Zaire? On it goes. So I think you have a little more potential for fireworks, a little more potential for something interesting from McElwain than you probably do from Kirby Smart. Of course, the other teams are part of SEC Media Days today, Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. And, you know, Mullen and Mississippi State, Mullen's actually probably a fairly underrated guy to have at SEC Media Days for a couple of reasons. First of all, he's one of these guys that's kind of broken out the cool hip shoes in the past. I think that Mississippi State, they were an Adidas school. I don't know if they still are or not. But who's the hip-hop guy that was with Adidas? Is it Jeezy or somebody like that? Yeezy, something like that? Whatever the hip-hop guy is. He had some Adidas shoes for a while, and Mullen wore those to SEC Media Days one time, and so that kind of got some attention. The other thing from Mullen is, I mean, he could actually strut through the building a little bit because the media picks him to finish last every single year, and he never does. So, I mean, Mullen can say, hey, I'm doing better at Mississippi State. Y'all are giving me credit for it. Maybe he'll do that eventually. Speaking of strutting around, LSU running back Darius Geis was doing some of that yesterday in Hoover, Alabama. Now, this is not as volatile a statement as it comes across, but it's as interesting as we're going to get, I think. Geis suggests that Alabama is scared of him, scared of LSU's rushing attack. Now, his evidence for supporting this is that every time LSU wants to run the football, Alabama's defense stacks the box. I don't know this so much being scared as it is just being tactical. I don't know that you're proving your bravery by lining up your defense away from what the offense wants to do. I don't know that Alabama's showing fear by just having a good strategy against LSU. If anything, it's LSU's afraid of doing anything else but running the football, at least recently. But Darius Geis sticks by it. He thinks Alabama's afraid. And listen, we'll see if that stirs the pot of this rivalry a little bit. It is so interesting that, you know, so much of the LSU intensity this offseason has been pointing in the direction of that rivalry that's fast growing with Florida, not quite so much when it comes to Alabama. It's kind of nice to hear and see LSU trying to re-engage with the Crimson Tide a little bit. It's about time somebody in the SEC West did. It seems like we haven't had enough of that lately. I think this is staggering, and for someone like me who was kind of initially a part of this hype, this starts to make me feel very uncomfortable. Have you seen what has happened to Auburn quarterback Jarrett Stidham's Heisman odds? At one point in time back in January, they were 50-1. And then a couple of weeks ago, they were re-released, and they'd gone down to 20-1. From 50-1 to 20-1 without playing a down of real football. Well, Bruce Feldman had a tweet yesterday that at a different sports book, those Heisman odds for Jarrett Stidham have fallen all the way now to 12-1. He is among the top favorites to win the award. he's got better Heisman odds than a guy like DeAndre Francois at Florida State, who may have the number one team in the country, and as a redshirt freshman last year, threw for 3,300 yards. But Vegas has said, sort of sight unseen, at Auburn at least, that Stidham's a better candidate for the Heisman Trophy than that. Listen, I have talked up Stidham myself. I think he is going to have a good season. But this is absurd to go from 50-1 to 20-1 to 12-1 over the course of an offseason when you haven't played any real football. That is insane. One more quick point in the SEC through. I thought that Jeff Sintel a moment ago had a really interesting statement about Josh Van, the four-star wide receiver from Tucker High School here in Georgia, but a guy that's also considering South Carolina. Now, Jeff just said that Van will probably make his announcement sometime in the next month because Tucker, who is a pipeline of talent, I mean, there's just a gazillion guys that have come out of Tucker High School. They like to have that stuff wrapped up before August when the season starts. They've got a system in place because they've sent so many players to major college football. That's a little different, though, than what Van told Hale McGranahan from SECCountry.com. What Van told Hale was he was willing to take this thing all the way to National Signing Day. I'm going to trust Jeff on this, though, for this specific reason. I think that Van is closely connected to Justin Fields, and that's the kind of thing that you can't really say out in the open when it comes to recruiting. So you just sort of punt on your own decision until National Signing Day when deep down you're watching closely what Justin Fields has going on. I think that's the explanation for the discrepancy in the two timelines, the one given by Van, the one described by Jeff. I think Jeff's more on the money here, that if we see Fields land somewhere in the next month, we may see Van follow closely behind. That could also be good news for Georgia, because as a slot receiver, I think Van could pay big dividends for the Dogs. We'll make that your SEC through. All right, so as we wrap up the show here today, reflecting on the fact that Kirby Smart heads to Birmingham for SEC Media Days, or I guess it's Hoover, Alabama, for SEC Media Days for his second time as Georgia coach, it's probably worth pointing out that this may be the last time ever that Kirby Smart gets to sneak into SEC Media Days without a whole lot of attention being paid to him. Now, last year he was the first-year coach. There was some interest in, hey, doing all this for the first time, but for the most part, he wasn't one of the bigger stories at the event last year. That's probably true for him here in 2017 as well. He's not a coach on the hot seat because he, for the most part, just started his tenure, but he's also not necessarily one of the biggest names in the building because he hasn't won enough yet at Georgia to accomplish that. But one way or another, in 2018, all this is going to be different. He's either going to be the guy that commands a lot of attention when he walks through the lobby because of how much he won in 2017, or the guy that's having to deal with some tough questions about why he didn't win enough in his second season. So, Kirby, enjoy the anonymity while you have it, and we'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.